Welcome to this audio sermon presented by Blue Letter Bible. Due to the fragile nature of cassette tape storage, a portion from the end of this teaching became inaudible. Fortunately, we do not believe any of the spiritual content or the applications contained within the rest of this message have been affected. We thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless the time you spend in His Word.
In verses 1 to 3, we consider the importance of love. And on the back of the song sheet, you have an outline that you could follow if you like. He begins by indicating speech or speaking or oratory. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels. And what he's saying here, first of all, then, that love is more important than eloquence. Love is more important than being a great speaker or an orator or an ability along that line. Now, this hurts us. Immediately we're hurt because we like to be thought of that way. If we're not a public speaker, at least we like to be thought of as a good conversationalist, somebody that would like to speak to us. To speak well is something that's a desire within us. And when we're told that it's not the most important thing, it hurts. We want that. And Paul is saying to love is more important than to be the greatest speaker among men or of angels. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, it's nothing. To love is more important. He goes on then to say that to love is more important than knowledge. If I have the gift of prophecy and could fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, that's nothing. Now again, this hits at us. It hurts our human pride. Because we want to be considered, quote, smart. And this starts early in life where we speak to children and we hear people say to little children, you're just dumb. Or, oh, you're so smart, you're so bright. Well, probably neither is a good thing to say, because to tell a little child you're just dumb can be devastating for the rest of their life. They may never get over hearing such a devastating remark. Don't do that. It may not be wise to play up the fact that they might be smart, but they don't need to be told that, because it can puff them up with pride. Rather, it's better to commend them for the good qualities of life, not for the external things. It also, along that line with children, it's not a good idea to tell them how cute they are or how beautiful or handsome, to play up the external qualities but rather the internal qualities. Because we want to be considered smart or maybe smarter than others or brilliant or intellectual, it becomes important to us. And Paul says to have knowledge without love is nothing. Or sometimes we like to be thought of as the great counselor. Everybody comes and you can give all the right answers and you know everything to tell everybody. And Paul said even if you reach that stage, love is more important. It's more important than eloquence. It's more important than knowledge. Now he says a very interesting thing here that's difficult for us as a Christian. He says, if I have a faith that could move mountains, or if I have a faith that's working miracles, but have not love, it's nothing. And we would tend to say in the Christian environment, if we could just see the miracles, that's really it. Then you've arrived. But he says, not so. You could do that without love. And even to have faith like that is nothing without love. Also, he refers to prophecy here. If you could be a person that could predict the future, you could tell people what's going to happen ahead of time, but you have not love, it's nothing. Love is more important than faith. Now he goes on with another contrast to say that love is more important than good works. And he speaks about a person here who's willing to give all I possess to the poor. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. We might find some of us who are willing to give something to the poor, and that's good. But he's talking about someone here who says, if I give all I possess to the poor, but have not love, it is nothing. And he says, if I would surrender my body as a martyr to the flames and have not love, it's nothing. So as he begins this important chapter on love, he begins to say it's important. It's more important than eloquence. It's more important than knowledge. It's more important than faith. It's more important than good works. Love is more important. And we must catch that truth. Now let's summarize it for a moment. What's the matter with these things that Paul is listening? To speak well, to have faith, to do good works and so on. Are not these good? Yes, they're great, marvelous, wonderful. Should not be eliminated from our life at all. But the problem with these things is that they can be counterfeited. You could do all of this without love. You could preach sermons without love. You can sing in the choir without love. You can serve your neighbor. You can lead Bible study. You can do all kinds of activities as a counterfeit. In fact, when God sent Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh, and they were performing miracles to cause the rod to turn into a snake and the snake back to a rod, and the frogs and the things that came on Egypt. Do you know what the magicians of Egypt did? They duplicated it. They matched them line for line down the row till God wanted to subdue them. So that's the problem with these things. Now, true love, real love, sincere love cannot be counterfeited. It may seem so for a time, but the reality will be revealed. And it's an interesting thing that this begins very early in life. Even a little child can discern sincere love and true love. They know that. You and I know that. We can discern that, not always perfectly all the time, but somehow or another, it will be revealed. This kind of biblical love cannot be duplicated or counterfeited. That's why it's important. Now, as we evaluate our life in the light of this, we could say we can go through life, we could say the right things, we could do the right things, and without love, what does Paul say our life is? He says it is nothing. I could do all this, and the sum total of my life is absolutely zero. It is a wasted life. I am nothing. It is zero, he said. Now, an interesting thing about this, as he writes to the Corinthians had all these things going for them. They had clever orators. They had great philosophers down through the years of Greek history. They had brilliant theatrical plays and so on. And they were people who were given to good works in an attempt to express their mystery religions. But without love, they are zero. They didn't have it all. Now, as we think about this list, it is not exhaustive at all. You know, there are many things you could contrast with here. So Paul's not attempting to exhaust it, but just to give us some direction of thought about the reality of life. Let's get down to the basics. What does our life count for? What is happening? We can go through all the motions of life. But if we have not love, it's a wasted life. It's zero. Theologically, we could be a Baptist, we could be a Presbyterian, we could be a Lutheran, we could be Reformed, we could be a Calvinist, we could be Arminian, we could be a covenant theologian, we could be a dispensational theologian, we could go to an independent church, and without love, it's nothing. We miss it all. You see how important this really is. Wouldn't it be a tragic thing to go through life and to give yourself to a cause or to activities and all means zero? It's nothing. We pray that God will impress upon our hearts this morning the importance of love. Paul goes on then to define for us the behavior of love in verses 4 through 7, and again he gives us another list, which is not exhaustive, but which is important, which teaches us how biblical love behaves. And so you say, all right, we've read this passage, what do I do? What does love really look like if it's flowing out of my life? What is sincere biblical love? Well, he gives us a list. And he begins in verse 4. Love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, and so on. You have them listed on your outline. We won't take a long time at it, but let's just look at them. First of all, he says that love is patient. By the way, the word used here is a word for God's love, God love. This is not the same word that's used in Greek classical literature surrounding the life of the Greek culture in love and Corinthian love. Someone has said that the city of Corinth was the Hollywood of its day. So it's not that kind of love. It's God love. And he begins by saying, love is patient. Now, since none of us here have a problem with that, we'll go to the next one. Or, we all have plenty of patience until we need it. Love is patient. Now, probably nowhere in all the world of literature would you come across such a thought as a description of love. What is love? Well, we conjure up all kinds of ideas that we've learned all the way through school and from human viewpoint, and here we're hit with a very, very unusual thing. Love is patient. What's another way of thinking about patience? Love can wait. That's a very important thing when people are thinking about marriage. Patience. It's very important in our relationships. Love can wait. Which means I don't have to have my way now. Love can suffer. Can suffer all kinds of trials and sickness, but abuse. Love can take abuse. And love can take mistreatment and imperfection. Love is patient. What a challenging thing to be confronted with in our life about the reality of things and the way we're living together and treating each other. Love is patient. We could spend the rest of our lives thinking about that and trying to help each other with that. Love is patient. He goes on to say, love is kind. Which includes the thought of consideration. In kindness, love considers the other person. To be considerate means, it means in a practical way, you're thinking about the other person. You're dwelling on the needs of the other person. And you're dwelling on the emotional content of the other person. Where are they? What's happening? Where do they hurt? That's kindness, to be considerate of the other person. Kindness also includes the thought of being concerned. And being concerned includes doing something about it, not just saying, oh, I'm concerned for you, but being available and willing to be with you. Kindness also includes the thought of being courteous, which we desperately need in our day, in every relationship of life, to be courteous. It also includes the thought of being gentle. To be kind is to be gentle. And we need that in our life because we're all very, very fragile beings. Sin has disrupted our security. We're very fragile. And we need this kind of kindness. Love is patient, love is kind, which includes being considerate and concerned and courteous and gentle. What a marvelous thing if God, by His Spirit, would be working these things into our life today. Now he goes on to say, love does not envy, which includes the thought of being jealous. There's a slight difference between being envious and jealous. But what is entailed in this thought is that the envy and jealousy brings us to ill will against the other person. Where we really are unhappy that they are thriving well or doing well or that they have something we don't have. And this jealousy and this envy wells up within us to the point that we have malice and ill will against them.
Unfortunately, at this point in the original tape, the remainder of the message was not recoverable. Therefore, this is the end of the message. God bless you, and we hope you found this tape useful in your study of God's Word.